Andrew Brown complimented me on my titles. I think it was a compliment. So I felt a real pressure to come up with a really, really good title at the beginning of 2017. And here it is. 2017. Yep. A year to leap like a calf and tread down the wicked. That is our spiritual enemies. Hindering God's purpose in our lives. A year to seek the Lord, to leap like a calf and tread down the negative things. That's my title. Malachi 4, verse 2 and 3. Fantastic, beautiful scripture. It says like this, "But as for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from a stall, and you will tread down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts." So I'm going to suggest 2017, a year to seek the Lord, to leap like a calf, and to tread down the negative things that hinder God's purposes in our lives and in the church life and where we're ministering. Why? Let me read a few other scriptures from Malachi. It's chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. The king is coming, as Tommy said. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he'll purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift witness against sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hard worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. But later on in chapter 3, it says that those who feared the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord paid attention, and he heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spur them as a man spurs his son who serves him. Then once more you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. And then the starting scriptures again. And it says like this, "But those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. You will go out leaping like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked. There'll be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts." A few scriptures. Thank you very much, Stephen. Why have I chosen this title this morning? The first reason is I wanted to maximize the sense of time and the sense of a new start and a new season that the new year brings us. Even though, as Tommy said, it's almost like I'm not so sure January is the first month of the year in God's thinking. Maybe it was this Roman God. But at the same time, it's good to make the most of an opportunity, because people are a little bit on the edge of their seats. They're a little bit reflective. They're a little bit open. And I think that's come across in the other parts of the service. But here's the thing about time. God has given us the gift of time. Did you know that? I heard recently we actually got one extra second in 2016. How did you spend that extra second? I just slept it away. I didn't even notice it. But apparently there was an extra second required because something to do with the Earth's orbit and all that rotation. And for those who are making notes, we need to understand God has gifted time to us. The older I get, and people who are even older than me, I think I'm open to you to correct me if I'm wrong, but the older I get, the more I realize the most precious thing I have is not money, it's time. I mean, it'd be very interesting if the Lord showed you how many seconds left in this life that you had. Would that change the way you think? And I think we have to trust God, don't we? That we have to trust God with our lives. We have to trust God with our souls and with eternity. But time is very precious. And as a friend of mine said recently, Zoran Spasowski, those of you know him, sometimes we think in the wrong way about time. We use phrases like, time is against us. Brothers and sisters, time is a gift. Time is for us. God has given us time. He's given us new days, new seasons, new mornings. Every morning, as we heard earlier, his mercies are new. And Christ came in the fullness of what? The fullness of time. The eternal came into time. The Creator came into our time-space world. And we've been celebrating that. So time is, I wanted to make the most of this sense of time. That we're not necessarily going to be here forever. And I want to make the most of my life, and so do you. I want to make the most. I want to redeem the time. So I chose the title for that reason. The second reason I chose the title is I love this picture of a calf leaping. It does my heart good to see an animal, a young animal. It could be a puppy or it could be a calf. Leaping because of the life and the energy and the freedom that's in that animal. And this is picture in Malachi of a calf leaping. If you think about this, a calf is born and some farmer says that calf is going to be enclosed and we're going to fatten that calf for one reason only. We're going to slaughter that thing and we're going to eat it. Now that could be a picture of many people's lives. That you're just going through life, you're just going through the motions in life. Maybe we're under the power and control of the evil one or the powers of darkness. And here's the thing about this calf that was destined for slaughter. The Z is silent. Somebody comes and opens the gate and says, no slaughter for you, go free. And that little calf comes out leaping. Brothers and sisters, that is a picture of God's heart for us. He doesn't want us to be controlled or trapped or fenced in by anything that's negative or damaging or something that's evil or corrupt. And all those things that Tommy read from Romans that we were reminded of, those things are like, they're negative things, they're evil things. Shake them off. God wants us to be free. It says in Galatians 5:5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Don't allow yourself to be yoked or enslaved to anything. And so, 2017, to leap like a calf, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But it's also, I chose the title because there is something significant about seeking the Lord. And as we read in the passage, those who feared the Lord, those who sought the Lord, those who gave due regard to the Lord were the inheritors of that promise. Who will leap like a calf? Who will tread down the enemy? It'll be those who fear the Lord, have regard for the Lord, who seek the Lord and delight in the Lord. And so my appeal to myself, my appeal to us, let us be a people who seek the Lord. Give due regard to the Lord. Give him first place. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added onto us. I think I'll just do without it, actually. Just do without it. I love also the picture of treading down the wicked, treading down the enemies. Obviously, in the context of the Old Testament, in the context of Israel, there was probably an understanding of a literal, a day would come when Israel, who was oppressed by so many literal enemies, a small nation surrounded, and there is evidence, even as you read the whole Bible, there would be a literal fulfillment of some of these things.
But these things are also a spiritual picture, because the real enemy is not those with flesh and blood. It's the devil and his angels and the powers and principalities. And there's a beautiful picture here of that when the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings, you will leap like a calf and you will tread down the wicked. You will tread down the spiritual forces. And it says, I think it is in Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us. And I do feel that the older I get, the more precious time is. The other thing I've discovered the older I get is that spiritual warfare is real. Spiritual battle is real. It's normal. But there is a promise for those who seek the Lord, fear the Lord, give due regard to his name, that as he rises with healing in his wings, he will enable us to overcome the enemy. We overcome him by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and that we did not love our lives so much to shrink back from death. That spiritual warfare, spiritual fight is normal and is necessary. So grace yourself and brace yourself for 2017. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. But here's something I wrote down here. My greatest enemy is not terrorists. It's my own negativity. My own unbelief. My own struggle with the desires that wage war against my soul. And as I begin to realize that, something should rise in us and rise in myself. Let us be those who tread down the wicked forces that come against us, come against our families, come against the church life, come against ourselves, come against our souls, that we can leap like a calf and see the fulfillment of this promise. So let's see. That's my exhortation for the year. A year to seek the Lord, to leap like a calf, and to tread down the enemies. And I'm assuming that's what we want. I'm assuming nobody gets up on the 1st of January and says, I want to live in an enclosure. I want to be a slave. I want this year to be worse than last year. I want to be defeated. Nobody wakes up. I want to waste time. I want to waste this year. I want to waste the rest of my life. I'm assuming that we get up on the 1st of January and the 2nd of January, right, and the 2nd of July, which you mentioned, and we say, I want today to count. I want to treat time as a gift, something precious, and I want to learn how to leap like a calf. Jesus died that I would leap like a calf, not that I would spend my life defeated and enclosed and fenced in. And so let me mention a couple of things from this passage to help us. And we'll go first of all to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. It says like this, Behold, I send my messenger, and he'll prepare the way before me. And the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Malachi is saying to the people of his day, look, there's a messenger coming to prepare the way for the Lord's coming. And there's something very interesting about this verse, because I believe this verse has already been fulfilled in more than one way and will yet be fulfilled in another way. You often find this as you study the Old Testament prophecies. There seems to be a fulfillment, and yet there's a greater fulfillment. And it goes something like this. Have you ever been climbing a mountain? I remember as a teenager climbing Donard for the first time, and I saw the top of that mountain. And as I approached where I thought was the top of the mountain, I discovered there was a whole other level. And then I got to that, and discovered it went even higher. And it's a bit like that with the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Well, Malachi is saying this, a messenger is coming to prepare the way for the Lord. Who was that messenger? Malachi was the messenger in that day. But he wasn't the full messenger, because it tells us in the New Testament that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of that verse. And then it mentions the name Elijah, who is going to come, whether it's a literal person or the spirit of Elijah, before the Lord's ultimate coming. So the messenger has come and is yet to come to get us ready for the coming of the Lord. But here's a question. Has the Lord come, or is he coming? Has the Lord come, or is he coming? Well, the truth is, Christ has come. He came as a baby. Has he come to the temple? Do you remember what Stephen taught us? That they brought the baby Jesus to the temple. There he is, the God of glory, the Creator, and nobody even realized it. I think these people were expecting a cloud to come, or they were expecting prosperity to the nation. But what God had in mind was that Jesus would come and he would dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father. And Jesus lived a perfect life. Then he died on the cross, and then he came again in his resurrection. Then he went away to heaven, and then he came again on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. And then he said, in the same way I left, I will yet ultimately come again, the second coming of Christ. That excites me, that God has already done something, he's already fulfilled something, and yet there's something more still to come. And I ask myself the question, in 2017, if I was going to maximize time and leap like a calf and tread down the spiritual enemies that are trying to hinder God's purposes, how would that be affected if I actually believed that Christ had already come and was possibly going to come soon, and but yet certain he will ultimately come? How would that affect your daily life? If the Lord Jesus Christ came back in 2017, and I knew that or thought that was a possibility, how would I live? How would you live? Would it purify something? Would it be like a refiner's fire, as we see in verses 2 to 5? Would it make you, I want to be 100% Christian? Or would it make you be mediocre Christian? Would it cause you to procrastinate? Or would something rise up in you and you would engage with the purposes of God? Here's how I would like to answer that question. If someone said to me, Stephen, if the Lord comes back in 2017, how would you like to live? Here's what I would like to say. To be honest, I wouldn't do anything very different. I would still give God first place in my life. I would pray every day. I would look for opportunities to share the gospel. I'd get 100% behind partnerships for the gospel. I would give time. I would give money. I would look for opportunities to minister. I would do my job to the best of my ability, to the glory of God. If I'm going to preach, I'm going to preach as if it's my last sermon. Every time I do it, I want to keep doing what I'm already doing. But I would do it with greater intensity. I would do it with a purer heart. I would do it with a greater sense of urgency. I would do it as if the gospel's an emergency. I would pray as if my life depended on it. I would give quality time to people as if this was my last opportunity to give quality time to people. One of the things we were taught in general practice was that the average appointment for a patient is 7 minutes. Now, I know some of you take 30 and some of you take 2 minutes, but the average consultation in general practice in the UK is 7 minutes. And here's what I was taught. 7 minutes is a very small part of your day, Stephen. It is worth nothing. 7 minutes, it's nothing. But to that person, it's the biggest part of their day. So you make sure that those 7 minutes, that you're focused, you're intentional, you're alert, and you make that person feel like they're the most important person in the world. And that's really hard to do every 7 minutes. But I have a revelation in that. If you have a concept that he sent this messenger, get ready, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He could come suddenly to his temple. The word suddenly, I love that word suddenly. It has the implication that it's unexpected. Expect the unexpected spiritually. Do you know that the devil can destroy a life just like that? Expect temptation. Don't fall asleep. Don't think it's unspiritual to be tempted. We're all tempted. Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And it's the same. There's something about his coming is suddenly. It changes the way you live. It changes your heart. It changes your attitude. And it's fun as well. It's fun as well. This could be the last time we celebrate Christmas in this life. Let's really celebrate it. This is the last time I could be playing five-a-side football in this life. I'm going to play like it's my last time. Oh, it's not good. I'm relieved I get to play again and again and again. But it's very serious because I realize some of the unreached people in my life, I still have time to reach them. I still have time to form meaningful relationships. I still have time to share the gospel. I still have time to pray for the neighbors in my street. I still have time. It's not over yet. The gift of time. Time is not against us. It's for us. Make the most of every opportunity. And live every day as if it's your last. Live every day as if the Lord could come back. And then, of course, theologians will tell you, that's silly. The Lord's not going to come back in 2017. Or is he? And you know, some of the early churches had a crisis because they all thought Christ would come, the King would come, the Lord would come back in their generation. And they noticed people started dying off. The apostles started dying off. No sign of Jesus, no sign of Jesus. And there was a crisis in the early church, and they called it the crisis of the delayed parousia. And the book of Revelation came. And it was given to John, the remaining apostle, to reassure the church, to reassure John, he is coming back. He will fulfill his promises. He will return for his people and for his bride. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep going. 2,000 years later, he still hasn't come. So it's probably closer now than it was then. This could be my last chance to impact that friend, that patient. This could be my last chance to reconcile with that person. This could be my last chance to forgive someone. It may not be, but there's something purifying when a people who seek the Lord and fear the Lord and give attention to the Lord actually believe the Lord could show up at any time. Maybe he comes by a spirit. Maybe he comes through a prophetic word. Maybe he comes through a preaching or a teaching. Maybe he literally and physically comes back to this planet. Whatever way he comes, whatever he will come. He has come. He is coming. And he will come. And you see time in him. 1,000 years is like a day. And a day is 1,000 years. All he needs is that extra second of 2016. And he could explode into situations. And he could come to his temple. But when he comes. And this is a point I wanted to bring out. In these days. They had grown apathetic and lethargic about worship. They were saying things like, what's the point of serving God? The wicked are prospered. There's no benefits from going to church. There's no benefits from going to the temple. Let's just go through the motions. Let's give second-class worship. The priesthood are turning a blind eye to it anyway. And anyway, if the Lord does come back, he'll destroy our enemies and we'll be okay. But God says, do you think his coming, do you think you're safe if you're complacent? Do you think you're safe if you're superficial? Do you think you're safe because you have some kind of tradition? No, the ones who are safe, who will leap like calves and tread down their enemies, are the ones who respect the Lord, who fear the Lord, and who seek the Lord with all their hearts. Let us be among those who are genuinely seeking the Lord, reverencing the Lord, prioritizing the Lord. I had a picture. What does it mean to seek the Lord? Almost finished. And I had a funny illustration of this. My wife's up the back, so I can use this. My wife tells me, go into the kitchen and find such and such. I go into the kitchen for 3 seconds, come back, can't find it. I've sought something, but haven't found it. My wife says, I'll go and seek for it. She goes in there and she doesn't leave that kitchen until she finds that thing. And it was there all the time. And there's some people who seek the Lord the way I seek something in the kitchen. And there's other people who seek the Lord with their whole hearts, as if their life depends on it, as if they actually believe God's promise that those who seek him will find him. And I'm not leaving this place till I find him. And it says in Matthew 7, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. What does it mean to seek the Lord? It's more about heart attitude. It's more about intentionality. And some of us probably have made some, maybe you want to call them resolutions, or quality decisions, or just some sensible plans. If you've made a sensible plan to seek the Lord, to pray, to have a devotional life, keep a journal, get up a bit early in the morning, pray a bit more, a bit longer, don't do it as a legalistic obligation. Do it with a whole heart. You will be rewarded. God rewards people who ask. He rewards people who seek. He rewards people who knock. And I finished by really just reiterating the title. 2017. A year to seek the Lord. But the word seek is thick. It's thick. I'm not going to stop looking until I find God to a greater and deeper level. I'm not going to stop asking until I receive. I'm not going to stop knocking until the door opens. A year to seek the Lord. A year to leap like a calf. I refuse to be in bondage to anything that is not God's purpose for me. I refuse to be enclosed and hindered by anything that's not God's purpose for me. And third, tread down the wicked. And we're not talking about the Edomites. God bless them. We're talking about the spiritual forces that hate God, hate Christ, and hate what he stands for. And so, that's me. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks to record that. I didn't have the...